The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune, looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
All right. Welcome to it. Microphone. We need microphone on. Hold on. There we go. Welcome to a Tuesday, everybody. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live from NicoleSandler.com, of course, on the Progressive Voices Network, on Netroots Radio, on all kinds of stations, plus streaming video on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, if all are working. So we're here today, and we'll be here tomorrow. Now, tomorrow was supposed to be another day of hearings, but mysteriously, they're not happening tomorrow. They will happen again on Thursday. One of the members of the committee, Zoe Lofgren, I guess, was on Morning Joke this morning and told them that it has to do with all of the video production and all of the clips that are edited together and to go along with the various people who are testifying, witnesses, they're called, right? And it's just a lot of work. And she said they don't have a huge staff, and it's a logistics problem, basically. Okay, I'll get that. And yesterday they got started late because Bill Stepien at the last minute said, oops, can't be there. We're in labor. But I got to ask you, it's now, what, 18 hours later? Not 18 hours, 24 hours plus another 12 hours later. My math sucks. And still, I haven't heard anything about a birth. Have you? We'll look into that a little later. There's a whole lot to get to. But you know what? She hasn't been here in a long time. So I think let's just dispense with the formalities and bring in Gotta Laugh. Whoops, would help if I did this.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Woo! I love it when it almost works. Hey, Laffy!
So anything new?
No, not a thing. No, nothing. It's just the same shit, different day.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for having me. Okay, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, okay. All right, bye. Never. She's not going anywhere. So how have you been? What's going on?
Going to Canada in 10 days. Going to Canada in 10 days. Yes.
Okay. And you just leave us here. That's all right. Just be that way. That's all right. I'll remember.
I cannot wait.
Julia.
Other than that.
Trucker John in the chat room just said Giuliani's having a baby tomorrow. I don't think Giuliani is slated to testify. And he's certainly not having a baby. But you know what? Since I brought it up, let's go there. There is a post on Daily Kos that the headline reads, "Congratulations to the Stepiens on their new baby, gender and birth date unknown." And let me read a little more of it because it's interesting. It's written by somebody named Cake Eater. So I like her already. She writes, I'm just assuming it's a woman. I don't know if it is or not. Let's congratulate Bill and Macy Stepien on the birth of their alleged baby. As we all likely know by now, Trump's former campaign manager had to suddenly back out of his live appearance before the January 6th committee scheduled for yesterday due to his wife going into labor. In these cynical times, let's just stop and enjoy some good news for once, because no one would be cynical enough to lie to a congressional committee to avoid perjury and to throw a wrench into the gears of the January 6th committee hearings. That's why the press has been dutifully updated to avoid the appearance of exactly this kind of impropriety, unless they haven't. Ooh. I suppose we should all just trust that a guy advising the campaign of Harriet Hegeman, the Trump-backed brown shirt running for Liz Cheney's congressional seat, would never lie to a congressional committee. No.
No. Who would do that? That's wrong. Right. That's illegal. You can't do that.
Right. So this person put up a poll on here. It says, did Bill Stepien's wife really go into labor on the morning of June 13th, just in the nick of time for him to avoid live testimony before the January 6th committee? Well, the first choice is a baby. Aw, congratulations. And that got 18 votes, or 6% so far. Second choice is, let's give the happy couple the benefit of the doubt and just assume he was telling the truth. That got 74 votes, or 25%. And the third choice is, there's not a chance in hell that this was anything but a cynical excuse to get out of providing live testimony before a committee co-chaired by his current boss's opponent in the upcoming Wyoming primary. And that one got 199 votes, or 68%. I'd say that's the ding, ding.
It very well may be, but I'm impressed enough with this committee that I think if there was something really nefarious going on, they would have gotten wind of it, because they're pretty good at that. I don't think they would have given him a pass.
No, I don't think they would have either, but it's that thing that you don't question, right? But
yeah,
now,
well, I don't know. I don't
a
know.
Day and a half later, I'm asking the question, where's this alleged baby?
It's like, where's the beef?
Exactly. Where's the beef? And someone said,
buns.
Well, maybe it was, you know, Braxton Hicks. Well, if that was the case, they would have known that immediately. He wouldn't have been called to miss his testimony. They would have said, it's Braxton Hicks. It's not real. No, I want to know where this alleged child is, because maybe there's a problem there.
Well, I'm just surprised, like you are, that there's no follow-up. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, okay, so we found out such and such.
Right.
But, I mean, we haven't heard word one. That's what makes me more suspicious than, I mean, because I still think that, I honestly do think that the people on the committee are smart enough to be skeptical of anything.
Sure they are.
You know, that they'd pull.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
But
they probably didn't even check. I mean, because that's the thing. You've got HIPAA laws. And when you're looking into someone's private medical information, that's easier said than done. You know, it used to be if you called the hospital because a friend was admitted and you'd say, I'm just checking on the condition of John Smith. And they'd say, oh, he's in stable condition, or he's critical. They don't do that anymore. Are you a family member?
Right.
Okay. So maybe, you know, the committee's just not going there because it's a privacy issue.
Well, we'll find out eventually, I hope. We should look up birth notices. Is there a way to look up birth notices?
Sure, there. I would guess. I don't know, but I would.
I just thought of that now. Why didn't I think of that like an hour ago?
Actually, on that Daily Kos article, there's a lot of comments.
I bet.
Yeah, and people talking about that. Perhaps a new responsibility. Well, now see the errors of his ways. Right. No.
And by the way, I'm not defending Stepien at all. I'm just saying I was giving credit to the committee because I think they would have had it checked out.
But maybe not.
You're right about HIPAA laws.
HIPAA laws. And, you know, this hit them at the last minute, at the 11th hour, yesterday.
And they had to scramble.
And they had to scramble. Yeah. So talk about editing, because they obviously had Stepien's testimony from the depositions, but they were planning on having him in person. So they didn't have those videos ready to cut to. And so they had to scramble to get it. And that's why they were late for 45 minutes. Did we hear what the former guy said about why the hearing tomorrow was canceled? Because they're getting bad ratings. They're getting bad ratings.
Oh, no, they're not.
Oh, no, they're not.
Oh, no, they're
bullshit.
Not.
Right. No, they're getting good ratings. In fact,
20 million plus.
20 million households, as someone pointed out to me. That means that's households. That's not individuals. So,
and that's also only the major outlets. It's not even all the ways you can stream it and catch it.
Right. So the numbers are. And go figure, the Fox Not News channel didn't run it the first night, but they ran it yesterday. Wonder why. You know what? Devin Nunes went on some TV show on Fox, of course. And he was like, and did you see? I mean, the ratings were horrible. And the host had to say, no, they weren't.
In fact, I tweeted that out. They were really, really good considering, you know, people aren't paying that much attention to these things that much. At least, we keep hearing that people are apathetic about everything, or just kind of worn out or just burnt out. And yet they managed to watch. Now, I wonder how the morning, do you know how the morning rings were?
No, I don't. From yesterday, I have no idea. But someone in the chat room, Diane Russell, is saying 7 months is too soon. Was she only 7 months along? Because I was thinking maybe they induced labor. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I need to go back and see if that's the case. Because I haven't heard anything else about...
I haven't either.
No, I haven't seen anything else about...
I would have tweeted that out like in 2 seconds.
I'm not going to go back through the chat. But who knows? It's just more strange occurrences in Republican land.
Now, the other question I have on scheduling is, I know they're doing it, picking it back up on Thursday, but on Thursday it was supposed to be
at
a later hour. It was
1 o'clock. And it probably is. Eastern. But apparently on their website, there is a January 6th committee website. Don't ask me the URL. It's probably January6thcommittee.gov or something, but something like that. But apparently there's no information on there either. So they need someone to step up their communications to keep the public informed.
No, they do for a number of reasons. Yes. We want everybody to be informed, but we also don't want to be like scratching our heads and saying, well, what are you doing now? What's going on next? I mean, as it is, they've kind of messed around with the times a few times, because I've been posting the schedule in various iterations. It hasn't changed very much.
No, but the thing is, at the beginning, they actually released a schedule for 2 weeks, because I have all those dates in my calendar, but then they pulled them back. Then they pulled them off the website, and they're not using that. But the original plan was tomorrow was going to be 10 a.m., Thursday was going to be 1 p.m., and then and then they'd come back again on Tuesday, the 21st, 10 a.m.
And that's in the morning,
10 a.m. And then Thursday, the 23rd, was going to be another 8 p.m., and that was going to be the last night. But
I have a feeling, because so much news has been breaking, and they keep adding new facts, and they're obviously going to try to work them in, because if they have to scramble for video all the time, that means they're waiting.
Yeah.
And
they made a point at the very beginning to say, look, this investigation is still in progress. This is sort of an interim report. We are still investigating. This is not the final presentation. This is just where we are at this point. So everything is subject to change.
Yeah, so I agree. So we'll see.
Yep.
I mean, I'll, you know, play it by ear.
We'll see.
I'll be there no matter what.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'll be there too. Or here, there, and everywhere. Go figure.
I will listen in my car. If it ends up that they extend the schedule beyond
You're going to Canada.
Driving trip.
I think they carry this stuff in Canada too.
Oh, they do. I mean, they have MSNBC in Canada, but I mean, not everybody subscribes to it. You know, it's part of their packages and whatever we get. Oh, I wonder, we're going to be staying this time at a couple of different places. So I wonder if they all subscribe, if they have the same, we'll find out.
There's streaming, we cut the cord.
True,
we got rid of the DirecTV, the satellite that was so crappy anyway. And now we have YouTube television, which gives you all the channels, including all the local channels and all the network channels and everything that you'd want and more in terms of cable channels. And then you can add on the paid services. And I think it's great. And it has all that. But it doesn't have C-SPAN, which is weird. But C-SPAN you can get on YouTube, because whenever there's something live, they do stream it onto YouTube. But that's a weird, because C-SPAN is supported, I believe, financially by the cable industry. So I guess maybe that's why the streaming services may not have it. But I could be wrong.
This January 6th committee, Rachel Maddow just put out a tweet from them.
Okay.
And I can't play it because I'm talking to you, but it's a video.
Oh,
a message from Liz Cheney about Thursday's hearing.
Oh, hold on. Let me pull it up. It's Rachel? It's Maddow?
No, Maddow's stream, but it's the January 6th committee's tweet.
Okay.
So if you go to either of them, you'll find it.
What's the name of the January 6th committee Twitter handle?
At January 6th CMTE.
CMTE. Okay. So let's pull this up. And I don't, there's all kinds of crap here. Hold on one second.
Or you can just go to Rachel's.
Yeah, that might make it easier. It's just Maddow, right?
M-A-D-O. She just tweeted it. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I just
That'll
got
be
the
easier
alert.
To find then. All right. This must be it. No, that's a picture. Maddow. You know, I hate this because what it's giving me is like everybody else's, you know, what they tweeted. Okay, here it is. A message from Vice Chair Liz Cheney. Cheney, not Cheney. Cheney.
That's right. Cheney.
Cheney. Boy, I don't miss Chris Matthews. Do you?
No.
No, not at all. Okay. No. So Liz Cheney. Hold on. I got to bring her up here so I can bring her up on the screen. And hold on, Lizzie. Lizzie. All right. This should, this will work. It's not ideal, but it'll work. Okay. What up, Lizzie? Here we go.
Yesterday, the Select Committee's hearing showed all Americans that President Trump's claims of a stolen 2020 election were, to use former Attorney General Barr's words, complete nonsense.
That's not what
he
said.
We heard this
he
from
said
Donald
bullshit.
Trump's own campaign experts, his own campaign lawyers, his own campaign manager, his attorney general, and others Donald Trump appointed to leadership positions in the U.S. Department of Justice. President Trump's advisors knew what he was saying was false, and they told him so directly and repeatedly. The testimony from our first two hearings is available on the Select Committee's website, so all Americans can easily view it. In our next hearing on Thursday, the Select Committee will examine President Trump's relentless effort on January 6th and in the days beforehand to pressure Vice President Pence to refuse to count lawful electoral votes. As a federal judge has indicated, this likely violated two federal criminal statutes. President Trump had no factual basis for what he was doing, and he had been told it was illegal. Despite this, President Trump plotted with a lawyer named John Eastman and others to overturn the outcome of the election on January 6th. To give you a sense of the gravity of these issues, here is a clip of one of President Trump's own White House lawyers, Eric Hirschman, who talked to Mr. Eastman the day after January 6th.
Uh-oh.
It was the day after. Eastman, I don't remember why he called me, he texted me or called me, wanted to talk with me, and he said he couldn't reach others. And he started to ask me about something dealing with Georgia and preserving something potentially for appeal. And I said to him, are you out of your effing mind? Right? I said, I only want to hear two words coming out of your mouth for now on. Orderly transition. And then he screamed and said, I don't want to hear any other effing words coming out of your mouth, no matter what, other than orderly transition. Repeat those words to me.
Huh. Wow.
And I screamed that said, eventually he said, orderly transition. I said, good, John.
Wow.
Now I'm going to give you the best free legal advice you're ever getting in your life. Get a great FN criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it. And then I hung up.
Wow. January6th.house.gov is the website for the January 6th committee. And that's where Liz Cheney was saying you can see the videos of everything they've presented so far.
Right.
Wow. That was pretty damning. Yeah. You know, this all has been damning. And I'm wondering, I have not seen a lot from, you know, Republicans or the I don't believe you crowd who's never been exposed to a lot of this video, a lot of these facts, the footage, the actual events that happened that day. I did see one tweet from a woman who said her parents, who are rabid Fox viewers watched on Thursday night. And when it was over, her mother called her and said, "Your father and I will not ever vote for another Republican. We are." Yeah. So, I mean, that was one story. I'm sure that's the exception rather than the rule, because these people put their fingers in their ears and go, "Nah, nah, 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 I can't hear you." But hopefully a few of them are hearing this and realizing that they've been lied to this whole entire time.
Well, I think there will be some people like that person. And I think, of course, there'll be a ton that are. But if every single one who says, "I will no longer vote Republican again," is helpful. So let's hope there are enough of them. That's all we can do. Let's hope that there are enough of them.
Yes, without a doubt. And we'll get into some of that, some of the committee stuff. But I do want to share with you. Yesterday afternoon, I get an email from somebody at News Nation. Now, are you familiar with this channel, News Nation?
No, I'm really not. I mean, you and I have talked about it. Right. No, but I'm not.
Okay, so here's the deal. I've only was because I occasionally use the site Mediaite to pull, you know, news clips.
Right.
And Mediaite always kind of pisses me off because they pretend to be, you know, down the middle. And sometimes they are, but sometimes they're, you know, I guess it depends who's writing the piece, because they must have people from both sides. And some of their pieces really piss me off. And then I realized this is Dan Abrams' website. Dan Abrams, who years ago, before Rachel Maddow, actually used to have that 9 o'clock slot on MSNBC. He did that following Keith Olbermann. And then he's been bopping around. He must have money. He must be like independently wealthy, because this, he owns Mediaite. He owns, there's another one like Law and Crime or something like that, that often they go back and forth. Yeah. So you'll notice they cross post a lot. That's him too. And now News Nation, which is a new, I guess, 24/7 news outlet. And their whole thing is they say that they are, you know, they are objective. They're down the middle.
Fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced. Right. And in fact,
is it streaming only?
No, it's on. It's on a lot of cable systems. I know it's carried by our YouTube TV. I believe it's on DirecTV. You've got to look up your system, but it is on the television. But it also streams at newsnationnow.com. And then they put all the segments up on YouTube or on Twitter. Dan Abrams tweeted out our segment. So yesterday afternoon, I get an email from a booking producer, Dan Abrams' booking producer, asking if I would like to be on their show last night, then it was tonight, to talk about the gun deal that was allegedly reached over the weekend. She said, I'm assuming that you don't think it's good enough. And I laughed. Now, I'd say that's a correct assumption. Anyway, so long story short, they booked me on the show. First, they wanted to send a car for me to go to a studio somewhere. And I'm like, this is 9:30 at night. I'm usually in bed. It's like, no, I'll do it on Zoom if that's okay. So did it on Zoom. So I want to share with you, because when it ended, I was, my first reaction was, well, that sucked. That was just so bad. And the thing is, because they don't want guests fighting with one another, they do have two people with diametrically opposed views, but Dan Abrams talks individually to them. They don't talk to each other.
Got it.
Okay. So that's how they set it up. And I thought, okay. And they asked me, you know, my position, and I stated it over and over again. And I said a lot in the, like, the pre-interview. Anyway, so it comes. At first, they were saying, you know, we were going to go on right at 9 o'clock, and then it got moved back and got moved back. And so we went on, it was probably like 9:40-ish, right? So 9:40 Eastern. And the other guest I knew was going to be a right winger, but wow. So, oh, shoot, I just lost my connection.
To what?
To play the video from there. That's weird.
Oh, no.
It was up here, and it just went, that's weird. How did that happen?
That is weird.
I can play it.
And it was a good video. I did see it.
I've got it. I can play it from somewhere else. I can play it from here. But that was just... That was weird.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's like when, hold on. I'm going to, covering your face. I'm going to pull, actually, this is going to go over your face, but that's okay.
I don't care.
So here is Okay, this will probably cover your face in a moment.
There are a lot of things I'd like to put over my face.
I hear you.
Most of them alcoholic.
Put mine over
this
your,
is fine.
Your face too? All right, now why didn't it load? Come on. Oh, and okay, here we go.
Somewhere
here we go.
Political middle. Okay, hold on.
All right, so hold on. This is covering Laffy, but that's all right, because where we're going to do is bring it up here. Bear with me while I play with the picture here. Okay, so here is Dan Abrams. And so the segment ran like 8 minutes, right? Like 8 minutes total. He spent about half that time doing the setup.
Political extremes have too much power and sway over both parties. So when 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats in the Senate come together to strike a deal on anything, but in this case, very popular gun reforms, should be a good thing.
Should be.
No, the far left will say it's not enough.
The far right
will say it's too much. We'll talk to advocates on each side who aren't that happy about it in a moment. But yes, the 20 senators announced on Sunday that they reached
an
agreement.
The setup begins. Now I'm just going to scroll through so you could see how long. This is all the setup, the setup, the setup, the setup. He shows a clip from The View and a clip from Mehdi Hasan. And then, so now we're, 4 minutes into the thing, right? And he brings on Tucker Carlson. Okay, still doing the setup. And then he brings in this guy. Right? Sorry, brace yourselves.
Mark Smith, he's a conservative constitutional attorney and author who opposes this deal from the right, and Nicole Sandler, a progressive radio host who opposes this deal from the left. Thank you both for coming on the show. Appreciate it. So, again, we do things a little differently on this show. We look to have productive discussions here. So I'll ask you each questions, if that is okay. Mark, let me start with you. This is a pretty mild bill that does not fundamentally take away guns, et cetera, from law-abiding citizens. And I know you're going to make an argument on red flags, et cetera, but is this really that big a deal to you?
Well, first of all, let's make sure we get our terms right. This is not a bill, Dan. This is really an agreement to agree.
Fair. Which is true. I got to say one other thing. If you're watching the video stream and you're seeing this, when they put me back on screen, just watch my face. You'll see just how frustrated I was. As this went on and on and on.
It is
and
pretty
on.
Priceless.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You haven't seen the text of what they're proposing.
Right. Nope.
So really what we have here are just principles of things they want to accomplish.
You're right.
But
you're absolutely right.
So I think with that said, though, I think some of the principles articulated do not make sense. In particular, I call them gun confiscation laws or red flag laws, which I think is a euphemism. And the thing that seems to be lost in these debates about firearms is that the Supreme Court has made it clear repeatedly that the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental, not my word, that's the Supreme Court's term, fundamental constitutional right on par with the right to life.
The other thing to watch is that my dress kept coming off center. It was like, I'm looking at the picture, it's like, oh shit, it's all shifted all the way to the left and I need to straighten. So I was preoccupied with that too.
Liberty to speech, to free speech, to religion, and to think that the Senate and the House have the authority under the United States Constitution to negotiate these fundamental constitutional rights is just not true.
Well, hang on, and beyond Mark. Hang on a sec. Let's just focus on that for a second. The First Amendment has restrictions, right? There's libel laws out there.
Now, the other thing that I'm going to point out is they're talking about the Constitution, talking about the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, and I'm, smoke is starting to come out of my ears, but I'm like, all right, I need to pick up on this. Wait till you hear what he says, Danny Abrams, when I bring up the Second Amendment. I'm just tell us.
It's good that you set that up.
Yes.
That exist in the First Amendment. There are laws in the Second Amendment about machine guns, et cetera, that have all passed constitutional muster. So this idea that you're making they can't even negotiate this idea because it's constitutional rights, of course, doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
No, that's not true. I think you're confusing the consequences of engaging in illegal behavior with speech by defaming someone or with a firearm by, let's say, committing murder with prior restraints. Mm. You see, in the First Amendment context, it's very clear that government may not prevent you and I from speaking. Now, you and I may say something that's fraudulent or false or defamatory, and we will pay a price after the fact, after we misbehave with our right to free speech. Yeah. With firearms, though, it's like they have it backwards.
Listen to how long they're going, too. I've not said a word yet.
Punish law law-abiding gun owners ahead of time. And that's where they really have it backwards when it comes to interpreting the Bill of Rights.
I hear you, but that's not the way the courts interpreted it, which is why gun laws have been determined to be constitutional. And some are not. But according to you, no gun laws would be constitutional. Nothing that prevented any kind of firearms would be constitutional. But I got to sort of ask Nicole a question on this. Nicole,
oh, thanks.
I would
About
think
time.
That the left should be celebrating this. They should be cheering the idea that, my goodness, we got something, anything done. And instead, what I hear from a lot of people on the left is, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not going to do anything, et cetera. But this is by far the best you're ever going to do.
If this is the best we're ever going to do, we're in a lot of trouble.
You may be.
We're in a lot of trouble because these murders, these mass shootings and single shootings, people, you know, the mass shootings, it hurt us all, but they actually only account for a small number of the gun deaths that happen every day in this country. What did we get from this deal? One good thing. There's one really good thing in here. And as your other guest said, it's not a bill yet. It's an agreement. It's a framework. But enhanced background checks for 18 to 21-year-old buyers by accessing their juvenile records. You know, I live in Coral Springs, Florida. I'm right next door to Parkland. That murderer was also 18 years old, just like the one in Uvalde, Texas. There's no reason these kids should be getting a gun. Well, now, I applaud that you'll be able to see if they go to buy a weapon, that the background check will look into their records. But why do you have to be 21 to buy a handgun? Yeah. But you can be 18 on your 18th
the problem
birthday.
Is, of course, as you know that this wouldn't have prevented Uvalde, though. They could have done a background check and it wouldn't have changed the
right. Well,
reality,
I think there should be an assault weapons ban. You're right. It wouldn't have prevented any of these.
Well, look, go ahead. Final word quickly.
So what did we get? And what the other thing is, your other guest seems to not just ignore the first four words in the Second Amendment.
I don't want to debate the Second Amendment.
No.
I've written about the Second Amendment. I can't bring it up another day.
And he's laughing.
But he's laughing because the court in Heller has ruled.
That's not why
that
he was laughing.
Right.
He was
Whether
laughing because he's
or
an asshole.
You don't agree with it. That's the law of the land. But you know what? I want to spend more time with both of you because I love this topic. Mark Smith, Nicole Sandler, I apologize for cutting you both off, but thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, my God. And that's how it ended. So, Laffy, wow.
you're just a girl.
Oh, my goodness. That ended, and I shut my computer off, and I went, well, that fucking sucked. It's just like,
you had
really?
To feel so unfulfilled.
Oh, my
point,
God.
You know?
There were so many things I wanted to say, and I just had to respond to the idiocy he was spewing, and then I had no time to say anything else. Wait, David's here.
But you got a lot in there. You jammed everything in, and you got to dig in at him.
Oh, the laughing. Oh, my God. Yeah. He's like chuckling, and Dan Abrams, oh, that's because such. No, it isn't. It's because he's an asshole. Sorry.
Yeah.
David, yes?
First of all, I so wanted to come in here and pull your dress up last night.
Oh, my God.
Because
my dress
that was just that was a fucking comedy show.
I know.
But the one thing I did want to say about the dialogue last night, the lawyer was talking about prior restraint, meaning the government can't come to you and say you can't say that.
Right.
How does that work in a murder? I'm confused.
Right. So you're saying
you unshoot somebody?
Right. So you're saying you can't do anything to prevent somebody from going out and killing people? You have to wait until they commit the crime to charge them?
Well, and he was saying that if you or I were to commit slander or something like that, there would be some sort of consequence for us.
Right.
Okay, but by the time there's a consequence for shooting someone, they're dead. Slander, you lose.
Laffy's talking. Yes, go ahead. You can hear him.
No, but what I'm saying, I'm agreeing with David in that you can't equate words with a bullet. You can try to prevent somebody from dying, but so what if words come out? There will be consequences, and no, you cannot stop words before they're spoken. But you can't equate, words will never hurt me. What's the word?
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Words will never hurt me. So for them to make that equivalence is completely false.
The consequence for slander or libel is you get sued and you have to pay money.
Yeah.
But, you know, right. once you're shot, how do you get unshot?
Exactly.
You can't. Right. Exactly. And so there have to be laws that say you can prevent a shooting from happening. And that's what we're talking about. And this moron is like, well, you can't do that. So he's saying, no, let the murderers murder, and then you can charge them with murder.
Another analogy would be we prevent drunk driving.
Right. Yeah,
because
right.
people die.
Right.
It's this exact same thing, except in you know, the Reich Wing.
The Reich Wing. Yes, sir. So right. that
well,
happened last night.
We better get to Tweety's.
Tweety's.
We're never going to get.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Get ready. Cover your head because those birds have been holding it in for a long time.
Welcome to my Tweety.
All right, Laffy, what are the Twitters all a Twitter about today?
Well, I added one tweet since you and I spoke.
Okay.
And here it is now. Oh, my gosh. Dr. Mehmet Oz.
Oh, yeah.
This is from HuffPost, okay. Who lived in New Jersey for years before declaring himself a Republican candidate for senator in Pennsylvania. Well, he misspelled the place he designated as his address on a campaign document.
Of course he did, because he doesn't live there.
Of course he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was just so funny. I had to start with a laugh.
Speaking of Oz, I'm not going to play the video again because for whatever reason I can't pull up this computer. But I do have a very quick little song for Oz that I got that I must to play for you today.
I must to play.
And so you're just going to have to imagine the video. I'll tell you what, I will post it on the blog.
He's running for the Senate, the phony and fraudulent Oz. We hear he is a Trump-loving schmuck, if ever a schmuck there was. Huckstering Snaefall without a pause, and Oprah should feel ashamed because her fame gave him a name and much applause for all of the fraudulent things he does. Let's hope that Pennsylvania won't fall for the fraudulent Oz.
There's one more verse.
He lives and votes in Jersey and never voted in PA. We hear he votes in Turkey as well and thinks Erdogan's okay.
Uh-oh.
He's vile and shameless as he can be, so he's perfect for the GOP. Since fear and hatred are their only cause, plus sexist, racist, homophobic laws. Let's hope that Pennsylvania won't fall for the fraudulent Oz.
Let's hope that Pennsylvania won't fall for the fraudulent Oz. There you go.
But that sounds like Lauren.
That's our friend Lauren Mayer. Yeah. Her outfit
Next
was
one.
Adorable, but, you know, technical problems today. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Okay, so here's something that everyone's been asking about on and off over the last several months. The whole thing where there were tours in the Capitol pre-January 6th.
Yes.
Okay. So New York Times reported that lawmakers' Capitol complex tour on eve of January 6th was innocent, the Capitol police say. The tour led by Representative Barry Loudermilk of Georgia, which had come under scrutiny by the January 6th committee, was a, quote, visit by constituents, the Capitol police chief wrote. And it goes on to say his letter described the tour as a visit by constituents and noted that the group did not enter the Capitol building or its tunnel system. There's no evidence that Representative Loudermilk entered the U.S. Capitol with his group on January 5th. Then Laura Rosen, who I just adore, she's really a good reporter, she said, recall that a House GOP aide from the House Administration Committee previously falsely said, quote, there were no tours. And then after that, Kyle Cheney, another reporter from Politico, said Loudermilk led 15 people through the House office buildings on January 5th, and the Select Committee still eyeing whether any of the guests returned to the Capitol grounds on 1-6. And then he said one more thing, quote, Representative Peter Aguilar, a member of the panel, told reporters Tuesday he wanted the full security footage to be aired at some point. He thought certain Republicans' distinction between entering the Capitol itself versus its office buildings wasn't a meaningful difference. And he's right.
He is right.
He is right.
Now, what about we still don't know. I mean, we had reports that Lauren Boebert was showing people around. Now, she'd only been in Congress for like 2 days at the time. Remember, they were just sworn in on January 2nd or 3rd, she and Marge Q. So I don't know.
Yeah,
about
I don't
that.
Know why they haven't gotten more definitive answers. It's been so long. And why hasn't there been video? Why hasn't there been, I don't know how many people they've interviewed or if they have. But other than this, why haven't they come up with more? Anywho, here's something else. This is from, I know you're going to treasure this one.
Uh-oh. Okay.
It's from Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, okay.
It's a tweet from Rudy.
Uh-oh.
Little inebriated Rudy. He said, I am disgusted and outraged at our outright lie. And by the way, a lot of misspellings.
Of course.
At the outright lie.
Because he was drunk.
And Bill Stepien. I was upset that they were not prepared for the massive cheating as well as other lawyers around the president. I refused all alcohol that evening. My favorite drink, Diet Pepsi. Well, first of all, he deleted the tweet.
Oh.
Second of all, I have somebody here who wants to say something about that.
Okay.
Her name is Ivanka.
Oh, Ivanka. I've been wanting to talk to you, Ivanka. Okay.
Well, I felt so bad for Daddy and Uncle Rudy on election night that I bought them Diet Pepsi that night. And
I thought your father likes Diet Coke.
Well, I brought them Diet Pepsi because I felt really bad for drunken Uncle Rudy that I decided I would favor him just this one time. And Daddy threw it. He does not like Diet Pepsi. So he threw his at Uncle Rudy.
Oh.
And Uncle Rudy screamed at him. He said, don't do that. I hate Diet Pepsi. So he's at odds with what he tweeted. And I think maybe he might get called before the committee on this.
Uh-oh. Now, Ivanka, I got to ask, you've made a couple of appearances via videotape from your deposition.
Oh, did you like my makeup? Did you like it? I did my hair and makeup really carefully for that.
You did.
Did you like that?
No, because it looks like you forgot the blush because... you looked awfully
washed out.
Ghost-like. Yeah, kind of.
I looked washed out. Yeah, my makeup person, I warned them about that. I said, use shade number 10, and they use shade number 5. Oh, there I am.
Oh, my God, get out of here. She's invaded us. Oh, my. See, you look sort of apparition-like.
I don't know. I think I look kind of cool. I think Daddy likes me without a tan. And so, I mean, he uses his tanning makeup. I was going to use it for camera, but I thought, no, that's not. Daddy likes me pale. So I went pale. But my hair, I really should cut it again. That doesn't really look good. It looks a little bit like an Afghan hound.
You do look like an Afghan hound.
Yeah.
And surprisingly soulless. Surprisingly soulless. You have no soul.
Well, I also, I don't like Afghans. So I think that looking like an Afghan hound doesn't really, isn't appropriate. I don't think that's appropriate. I think they should have waited until I did my hair. they required that my presence, so I had to quickly put myself together. But I do still stand by my choice for makeup. I think I did really well with that.
You know, there was a TV series, a little like a mini series, about the woman who defrauded everybody for that the blood testing thing. What was it called? What was that called? What the blood?
What's her name? I saw that.
The woman who defrauded for billions of dollars. The blood test. Come on, the blood test technology.
Yes, I saw the whole series.
Yeah, we did too.
Elizabeth Holmes.
Right.
Thank you.
Ivanka looked like her makeup was done by Xanax.
Well, Elizabeth Holmes. You know, famously lowered her voice. And Ivanka,
I
think you did that too. Did you get the idea from her?
I prefer not to reveal my sources.
Or your trainings?
I refuse to acknowledge any training that I may or may not have had, and I will not commit to whether or not I've had training.
Oh, really?
But okay. Yeah. But I think I did really well. I think that I looked really cute. I wore a good outfit. It looks, it read serious. I think it's serious yet whimsical.
Oh, okay. Laffy, you have an Ivanka on your shoulder.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Which shoulder is that? Get off.
No, it's the other shoulder. The other one.
Get off of there. Go away.
Okay. Go. Ivanka, just leave. Damn it. Okay, she's gone. God, that was dangerous.
Okay, so Brian Karam, on the Rudy thing. He said Rudy is going down next, and Trump will fall, but Bill Barr may outlast them all, because you know Bill Barr has a functioning brain. Actually,
well,
it's not a good one, but it's functioning.
But Bill Barr has now raised the ire of. Oh, hold on, oh, wait. I need to get my scary music up. Has raised the ire.
Yes.
Of. Oh, hold on. Damn it. My sound effects here. Raise the ire of Steve Bannon.
Uh-oh.
Finally. So Steve Bannon has his little podcast, you know? And you have to hear, Steve Bannon was pissed at all this audio from Bill Barr. And here's what Steve Bannon had to say yesterday.
You ever wondered what actors and actresses do when they have to get in shape really fast?
I didn't edit the commercial out of the beginning of the media.
Take this very seriously.
Here we go.
Because 13 or 14 generations of this country have sacrificed to hand us the republic we have. And we're not going to be blown off by somebody like Bill Barr. Bill Barr, we're coming for you, bro.
Whoa.
You're sitting there lying about this. If you had any decency whatsoever, you'd have reached out to Catherine Ehrenberg before you smeared her. You'd have reached out to Dinesh D'Souza before you smeared him. You'd have reached out to Greg Phillips where you smeared them and the entire team of an 18-month investigation is still going on of 8 or 10 hours of interviews that you could do and sit there and find out the details in the second and third order magnitude of what they've already thought through before sitting there.
Oh, my
and so,
God.
This is the type of crap that
can
we're
you imagine
stopping.
Listening
you're just not
to this
sit there
for an
and
hour?
Throw this in and throw it a couple lines. We're going to deconstruct this and we're going to rub your nose in it and then we're going to come after you legally.
We're
not
rub
just going to sit
nose
here anymore.
It. And we're going to come after you, bro. We're coming for you, bro.
Like, spittle is coming out, and yes. His hair is on fire, and his eyes are like boinging out on
yes.
springs, and
yes,
his ears are flapping. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Kobe, this random person on Twitter, said if a drunk Giuliani was able to convince Trump to cause this much chaos, imagine what a sober ex-KGB agent could do. And did, actually.
Yep.
Yeah. Diana Manister, another random tweet. My husband and I laughed out loud when Ellie Mistal said to Ari Melber, quote, I could find a wino who would tell me I don't need to pay my taxes, but that doesn't mean I don't need to pay my taxes. That is what Trump did when he used drunken Giuliani's advice.
Wow.
It's true.
Yep. Wow. You know, the Democrats, this is interesting. Yeah. Somebody just tweeted at me. This tweet from the Democrats from within the last hour. And the tweet that the Democrats sent out says, whoa, Lindsey Graham, the top Republican on the Senate Budget Committee, just said Republicans could go after Social Security and Medicare if they win power in November.
Oh, yeah.
He said the quiet part out loud.
Oh, no, but I mean, I think I tweeted that 3 days ago. That's been running around Twitter. I think they're making a point, you know, to keep reissuing or get it out there again. But this has been a threat ever since we figured that they very well could take the House and maybe the Senate. They're going to go after everything. It's going to be a free for all.
I guess. Now,
let's just hope they don't get so many people in that. They override a veto. That's what worries me.
Oh, God. You know, God, we, our side needs to come out. I know I say this every election, but in such huge numbers, so that can't happen. You know, I mentioned this yesterday and I even put it in What's News because it was very sort of, it wasn't secretive. It was just not publicized that there was a debate yesterday It was taped at 12 noon. It ran on Fox Nation, and it's going to be run broadcast this weekend on the Fox Not News channel. I want to know when, you know, when do we get to see it? But the this debate between Lindsey Graham and Bernie Sanders, and it
was
and I thought I pulled these clips, but for some reason they didn't show up. I'll run them tomorrow because it was what I saw of it was pretty damn good. It's Bernie being Bernie and Lindsey Graham being, you know, Lindsey Graham. But this is part of the Senate bipartisan project or something. So then why is it all going to, I guess it's better that the Fox people get to hear Bernie Sanders than we have to hear Lindsey Graham. But why don't we get to see this stuff?
Because we're preoccupied with January 6th,
I guess.
Anyway, Michael Harriet, he said, it's easy to understand how white people were duped by Trump when you realize that they think Herschel Walker is an undercover secret agent, billionaire, genius, kung fu astronaut who somehow has trouble forming coherent sentences.
Well, and I love this. He has lied about everything. He's lied about jobs he's held, about education he's had. I think about military service he never served. He's lied about everything. So I guess that's why the Republicans embrace him, because they like no accountability to the truth.
They like anybody who is so obnoxious and so destructive that we can't stand them. That's who they like.
Wow.
Representative Susan Wild is answering a GOP tweet. The House Judiciary GOP tweeted about the first hearing. All period, old period, news period.
Really?
And that's called gas period, lighting period. Okay, so she said, you mean the part about your members asking Trump for pardons?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Wait. Closest I got.
That's good enough.
Yeah. There's other things I can give you too, but that fits best.
My Twitter buddy, Baratunde, he tweeted insurrection for, let's set it up. Demcast tweeted out, Trump knew the claims of voter fraud were false, but he used it as a way to grift off his supporters. 25 emails a day, raising over $250
million.
And I think Baratunde, he summed it up in just a few words. Insurrection for profit is the business model. That gets about every key word you can in there in a short little sentence, summing it up pretty well. Insurrection for profit. That's what it was. It was a coup for profit.
Yeah.
A coup.
Right. And they're still profiting off of it. And the thing is that the committee did a really good job of laying out. I don't think we've seen the end of the grift part of it. I think the bulk of yesterday was to show that everybody around Donald Trump knew he lost the election fair and square. Yeah. And he knew it. He just wouldn't admit it. So he could keep this big lie going. The thing that, Bill Stepien, who referred to himself as the normal crew as opposed to the crazy crew.
Team normal?
Well, team normal would have stepped up and said, this fucker's lying. Wouldn't have backed him up for 4 years.
Team normal is backing horrible candidates. So it's just ever so slightly less horrendous than team batshit crazy.
Right.
Okay, so people have also been asking about this, making all this money, about wire fraud charges. And so Lawrence Tribe said, yes, today's testimony opens a new possibility, charging Trump not only with seditious conspiracy, inciting insurrection, defrauding the U.S., and obstructing a congressional proceeding, but also wire fraud. And he's backed up by another a law professor that said this is an allegation of textbook wire fraud. And then he goes on and on about, in legalese. So, yes, I really hope, we talk about all these crimes, but charge him already, for God's sake.
Well, and then there's Merrick Garland. I'm Merrick Garland, and we're watching the hearings.
You know that,
we're watching
the hearings. The empty wheel has said he's on the case.
I know.
You know.
I know.
Dan Frumkin, who I really like, he is editor of Presswatch. He said he did an article that says it really well. Donald Trump wasn't detached from reality, as Barr was saying. He was opposed to reality. And I said, yes, because one, being calling him detached from reality, dilutes his responsibility, whereas the other emphasizes his responsibility. And then all these people quoted Bill Barr with glee saying, see, he's detached from reality. No, he's not. He did a whole bunch of things that showed he was not detached from reality. Mm-hmm. If he says a couple of things that are wacko, well, that's, you know, that's par for the course. But no, that let's not give him a pass on this.
No.
Because you think he's detached from reality.
Absolutely.
He twists reality.
Of course.
He laughs at reality. He exploits reality or
ignores it for his own purposes.
It. Yeah.
Because facts don't matter. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Facts
finally.
No, that's fine. This is my last one.
Yes.
This is from New York Times. Republican candidate for governor, Doug Mastriano, who, by the way, was there on January 6th and photographed the number of Proud Boys and whatnot. He today announced, this was actually yesterday, announced the appointment of former Trump lawyer Jenna Ellis as senior legal advisor to his gubernatorial campaign.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's who they are.
John Fetterman, please, you must win this race because that man can't win. Right?
No, he cannot win. None of them can win.
No.
Any one of the governor races, if they go to the Republican, will screw up the election.
Right. As I like to say, fucked and not in a good way if they win.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah. That's really scary. All right. Well, Francie in the chat room said, please end on a fun note. So
okay.
I got another song for you.
Good.
Trump knew damn well he'd lost. He knew that he was screwed unless the facts got tossed after they were reviewed. He knew Mike Pence should not be hung. He knew his own neck should be wrung. But against all odds, he firmly clung to the big lie he had made.
Okay, one more verse.
Trump knew that he'd been beat. He knew Biden had won. They warned him of defeat and said his time was done. But Trump reacted like a tot, incensed at what gift Santa brought. And though he knew that he was not, still claimed he was president.
Okay. Oh, one more.
Trump knew that he had failed to win most votes now twice. The ballots checked and mailed brought news that wasn't nice. But Donald lacked the balls and grace to just admit, let alone embrace the fact that he just lost the race. 'Cause he's just that pathetic.
Mangy Fetlocks, everybody, also known as Bruce W. Nelson, a favorite around these parts. That was great. Trump knew that he had lost is the name of that little ditty.
Pathetic.
Yeah. Pathetic. So, Francie, there. I hope we ended on a high enough note for you. So, Laffy.
It was amusing. Yeah.
It was amazing? Okay. So
Amusing.
Oh, amazing and amusing. So, yeah. So, you know, you've been gone for a while. So, my newest art obsession are boxes. Boxes.
Oh.
So, this.
Well, that's a good idea.
Isn't that cute? So, I find these old boxes. This is an old jewelry box. So the inside, you see it even has a movable compartment in here. And this is using my faux stained glass technique on the box. And then this is an old cigar box that I painted on.
Idea.
Isn't that cute? So it goes like this. And the inside is just a lovely, I just put a coat on it and I think I... There we go. And that's the inside. Yeah, because I did shiny coat on it, so it dried a little bit. And then, I've got a few others, like this one. So boxes make wonderful Father's Day gifts, you know. So this is my little stained glass technique, stained mirror technique on the front. You can see the effects as I turn it side to side. And this one, too, is a jewelry box. Isn't that pretty?
Yeah.
And men can use jewelry boxes, too, in case you're wondering.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And then this little one, this was just me screwing around because I had some time on my hands. So another little mirror thing. And it's just a little tiny little wood box that I did that. And then I'm working on this one. It's not done yet. Not done yet, but this is, I'm using, it was pretty wood, and so I didn't want to destroy it.
Yeah.
So I used the grain of the wood and alcohol ink to try to make like the ocean using the wood grain, and then I'm doing the stained glassy thing here. But this is a tea box.
Oh, a tea box.
So I figured a sunrise over the ocean would be a nice thing for a tea box. So all of these boxes are available to purchase. You can get them at paintyourpets.net or just send me an email, nicole@nicolesandler.com, and I'll be happy to work with you on any of these boxes or a custom pet portrait or a window art or, you know,
or
anything else. Anything. We aim to please.
She'll paint your dog.
I'll paint your dog.
You bring the dog over and she'll paint. She'll put stained glass stuff all over your dog.
Not glass near the dogs. That's why I use glue.
No, stained glass paint.
Gotcha. Yes.
Glass.
So I know. But I got an email because I was talking about the boxes the other day and I didn't have one in here to show them. And I was talking about the boxes. And I got the funniest email here from listener David. Hey, Nicole, I love your show and listen every day. Really? For Father's Day, I would love to see your box. Ha, ha, ha. It was funny to hear you talk about them in your show. And I kept thinking about your box the rest of the time. Sorry. Love you, though. Keep up the great work. But David Johnson, his name is, it's not our Dave Johnson. It's another David Johnson. Not our Dave Johnson, a different Dave Johnson. Now you can see my boxes. Ooh. Oh. And you can put whatever you want in the box. Just saying.
I heard that about you.
All right. I'm a little giddy. So tomorrow, we don't have a hearing tomorrow. But
no, we don't.
I do have John Nichols from The Nation coming on the show.
Oh, he's good. He's good.
So John Nichols will be here tomorrow. So we'll talk about stuff. And we won't be quite as giddy as you and I are.
Well, we tend to have a little too much fun.
I know. So you're leaving us again. So when are we going to expect you back on this program, you think?
Hopefully. What did I say? The 28th? Is
the
28th. That what I told you?
Yeah. So
that's what I'm hoping.
That's 2
for.
Weeks. Okay. So that's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, I think if I can set it up, I think we'll still be at the inn, and then they're pretty good with reception. So if everything works,
yes,
you know, you and I will try it beforehand
it
and see how it goes.
We will. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
It should be okay. We will.
All right, everybody. With that, we are just done.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Laffy. I'll see
you. Yeah, thank you.
And safe travels, because when we do talk to you next, you will be up in Canada.
In Canada.
You'll be in a different country, bitch, leaving us.
I'll be in Port Moody.
Okay. And I'll be moody. I'll just be moody. You'll be in Port Moody, and I'll be moody because I'm stuck here in Florida.
That sounds good.
Yeah. All right.
Moody and Port Moody.
All right. All right, Laffy. I'll see you tomorrow. And everybody else, you know what? I'm just going to leave you with the news because we can. So until tomorrow. Bye. Thanks for listening. Bye. All right. Here come the news right here.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The House Select Committee investigating the events surrounding the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of last year held its second in a series of public hearings yesterday. The panel mostly focused on efforts by former aides and allies of the former president, who say they attempted to disprove theories of widespread fraud in the aftermath of the 2020 elections. Live testimony was provided by former Fox News editor Chris Steigerwalt. He's the one who basically made the call on Arizona going for Biden on election night, angering many in the Trump camp. Plus, Republican election lawyer and veteran of the 2000 Bush v. Gore fight, Ben Ginsburg,
among others. The key witness for the day, former Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien, withdrew from the hearing shortly before it was supposed to start. He said his wife had gone into labor. Interesting that a day later, there's no news of any child being born yet, but I digress. Anyway, the January 6th committee on Monday played clip after clip of Trump's inner circle telling investigators that they had seen no evidence of his claims that the 2020 election had been stolen and that they had all told him so. Former Attorney General Bill Barr, Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, and former campaign manager Bill Stepien were among those who said they had spoken directly to the president and told him that he lost. And in the second public hearing, once again, the former Attorney General Bill Barr provided key testimony. In a pre-recorded statement, he said he thought then-President Trump had become, quote, detached from reality if he believed his claims of election fraud. Former Trump aide Jason Miller also testified that on election night, Rudy Giuliani said Trump needed to, quote, go say that we won. He added that Giuliani was definitely intoxicated, an allegation that Giuliani's team denied. There was a bit of a dust-up, though, inside the committee, as Chair Benny Thompson told reporters that the panel would not criminally refer the former guy or others to the Justice Department. Well, that statement drew quick reactions from other members on the committee, revealing that the panel is split over how to handle potential criminal referrals of Trump and his associates for prosecution. During Monday's hearing, Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren said that Trump knew he had lost the election, was told he had lost on dozens of occasions, and not only refused to accept it, but actively pushed conspiracy theories and other false claims that he knew were wrong to stir up his party's base and to raise over $250 million off of those claims, most of which went into Trump's coffers, not to fight so-called election fraud. Well, in response, Trump lashed out with a 12-page statement trashing the committee's work. What else is new? And some breaking news. The January 6th committee has postponed the hearing scheduled for tomorrow, for Wednesday, saying they just need more time to do all the video work, that they have a small staff and they need more time. Thursday's hearing is still slated to go on as scheduled. The other big topic today is the gun deal. As we told you yesterday, there's a framework of a bipartisan deal on guns, and now this bipartisan group of 20 senators, 10 from each side of the aisle, just need to put it into a bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Monday that the Senate would vote on new gun legislation as soon as they hammer out the language. The proposed bill would provide grants to states to enact red flag laws, tighten background checks for gun buyers under 21 years old, and close the boyfriend loophole with tougher restrictions for people who have abused romantic partners. In other words, not much that would have deterred any of the recent spate of mass shootings, though it is a first baby step. So there's that. Separately, Ohio's Governor Mike DeWine on Monday signed a bill letting school staff, including teachers, carry guns on campus after only 24 hours of training. A recent state Supreme Court ruling had required 700 hours of training, so a House Bill 99 will make it a lot easier for school districts to arm more teachers. In New York, Governor Kathy Hochul preempted another expected SCOTUS ruling. On Monday, she signed a package of laws shielding abortion patients and providers from out-of-state legal actions, making New York among the first to adopt safe haven legislation ahead of an expected Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. And back in D.C., the House is expected to clear the Senate-passed bill extending security to families of Supreme Court justices later today. The Senate unanimously passed the bill, authored by Senators Chris Coons and John Cornyn, in May. But it's been held up in the House for a few weeks as Speaker Pelosi wanted to add protections for the families of the Supreme Court employees. But Republican leaders warned that the amended bill wouldn't have enough votes to pass. They will vote anyway, and the bill they'll vote on would allow the Supreme Court police to provide around-the-clock security protection to the families of Supreme Court justices. Today's primary day in South Carolina, Maine, Nevada, and North Dakota, so go vote. And who knows, maybe the polling place is somewhere you can get cool. Record-setting heat pushed east yesterday, with 107.5 million people expected to be affected by heat advisories, warnings, and watches through tomorrow. People from parts of the Gulf Coast to the Great Lakes and east to the Carolinas are being warned to stay indoors as temperatures rise to triple digits in many places. Several cities, including St. Louis, Memphis, Minneapolis, and Tulsa, were placed under excessive heat warnings due to forecasts of temperatures rising to 100 degrees Fahrenheit or more, worsened by the high humidity that it'll make it feel at least 10 degrees hotter. Chicago's even opening 6 public cooling centers today and tomorrow, and also is inviting people to beat the heat in public libraries. And again, go vote. I would guess most polling places are air-conditioned, too. I got the And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.